The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O
Lord. Jesus and his disciples set out for the villages of Caesarea Philippi. Along the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" They said in reply, "John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter said to him in reply, "You are the Christ." Then he warned them not to tell anyone about him. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and rise after 3 days. He spoke this openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. At this, he turned around and said, looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." He summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and that of the gospel will save it." The Gospel of the Lord. I began by asking you to say that your mind is open, your mind is clear, your eyes are open, and your heart is ready to receive. What I want to say to you is something similar, but with a different slant. My mind is clear, my ears are open, and my heart is ready to respond. Can you say that with me? My mind is clear, my ears are open, and my heart is ready to respond. And I say that, my dear friends, because what I want to share with you today is on the response to God's call to serve. How did Jesus respond to the Father's call? How did the disciples respond to the call? And how do we respond, you and I? And I believe it has to begin with a clear mind, open ears, and hearts that are ready to respond to the word. The first reading of today from the prophet Isaiah is one of what we call the four suffering servant songs. Songs about the servant of God who suffers for the sake of the calling, and different slants of responding to evil, a certain empowerment, suffering, the vindication of the servant. And all these songs are attributed now to the Messiah. So we see in those songs what the Messiah himself came to do and how he responds. And above all else, what we see is a resolute steadfastness. My mind is clear, sharp, and I know what I'm about, and I'm ready to do whatever it is that God asks of me. And if you heard it, the word begins by saying, "The Lord has opened my ear." And what that means, of course, is I have learned to listen to what he has to say. And as you and I both know, to listen implies to obey. It's not just to say, "I hear you." It's to do whatever it is that is being asked of me. So when you tell your little child, Mary Ann, bring me a glass of water, and she doesn't bring it, you say it again. Mary Ann, please bring me a glass of water. And she doesn't bring it, you say it again. Because although you know she has answered yes, mommy, three times, the water hasn't come. And until the water reaches your hands, you will say it again. So to hear is not only to say, I hear you, as sometimes we say today, but to do whatever is being asked of us. So the very first thing is, my ears are open, and I have not rebelled, and I have not turned back. I have accepted whatever it is that my Father God wants of me. And then next we hear a willingness to suffer and a willingness to suffer injury for the sake of whoever it is who's asking me to do it. So he says, I gave my back to those who beat me, my cheeks to those who plucked my beard, my face I did not shield from buffets and spitting. A willingness to suffer because I understand what it is that is being asked of me. And because my heart is ready to respond, I respond willingly. And the next thing we see in this first reading is a strong faith in God's fidelity. So he says, the Lord God is my help, therefore I am not disgraced. I have set my face like flint, knowing that I shall not be put to shame. I trust God. What he's asked of me may be hard, may be difficult. I might even see it as impossible, but I know that God is there. And if he calls me, he will sustain me. He will see me through whatever it is he's asking me to do. And therefore, I am ready. My God will never let me down. He says, God will stand by me. In the end, the victory is mine. So he says, he is near to those who uphold. If anyone wishes to oppose me, let him appear. Who disputes my right? Let the man come to confront me. You see, the Lord is my help. Who shall prove me wrong? The Lord is my help. This is Jesus speaking in a sense about his own mission and how he sees himself responding to the Father's will. And finally, of course, is the total acceptance of God's will, including suffering, rejection, and even death. So in the gospel reading then, he says, if anyone wants to be a follower of mine, let them renounce themselves, take up their cross and come after me. Be ready to give yourself totally to the will of God. When I come to the disciples, well, in a sense, it's only Peter who speaks out, but Peter speaks for them. And what we understand from Peter's response is, Lord, you cannot allow that to happen to you. No. I mean, we are with you, and we've seen what you can do. We know you are the king. We know you have come to save Israel. How can you possibly allow that to... No. The victory is now, Lord. Now is the glory. What is this thing about suffering and death? No, we can't allow that to happen. And Jesus rebukes him and says, get behind me, Satan. Satan is whatever is that is there that is preventing us from getting to the Lord. Get behind me, Satan, because the way you're thinking is the way human beings think. But I want you to think as God thinks. I am sent on a mission. And my mission will be complete. Don't put things in my head to say that I can't do it. I know I can do it. I want to do it. Because you see, my dear friends, for them, the glory was now. For them, the glory was right there and then. How could he possibly think of allowing himself to be disgraced at the hands of scribes and Pharisees and others? To be spat upon, to be mocked, and eventually to be killed? No, we can't allow that to happen. Because his vision was short. He didn't see the full picture. He saw only today. And therefore, in his heart of hearts, he would not be able to respond as the Lord himself was able to respond. But now, my dear friends, I come to you and me. You and I. And the first question is, are our ears open? Are my ears open to hear what God is saying to me? If He has called me by my baptism, and He has, can I say, Lord, here I am, I come to do your will. Lord, I have heard you calling, I have understood your message, and I will obey and put it into action. You see, dear friends, we all know the Ten Commandments by heart. Some of you know them better than I do. From the very first one to the very last one. But it's not enough to know them. The important thing is to do them. I think it was last week that St. James told us, be not only hearers of the word, but doers as well. Nowadays you have many people who tell you, the Bible says. Say, yeah, the Bible says, so what? Are you doing it? I said good morning to you, did not answer me. Because you're Pentecostal and I'm Catholic? So the Bible says, so what? It is, the Bible says this so that I can take it to myself and do it and act on it. And that is the very first thing I wanted to share. The commandments of God are there. They're very clear. And then when Jesus came, he gave us the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. That whole Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who seek for justice and so forth. These are the qualities of the kingdom. Do I belong there? Can I see myself fitting into all of that? And as he went on, he talked about salt and light. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. If salt becomes tasteless, then it's worth nothing anymore except to be thrown out. And if your light has dimmed or has gone out, what good is it? Your salt of faith, your salt of integrity, your salt of goodness and truth. Our light that enlightens others. That fixes their eyes and their minds to know that God is real and God is alive. And then in the same Beatitude, the same Sermon on the Mount, he says, I want to clarify what the law really means to you. Because unless your virtue goes no deeper than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. They are concerned about the externals and the minimizing the law. But I want to tell you that the law goes further than that. It's not only the letter, it's the spirit of the law. So, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Forgive all those who hurt you. Pray for those who offend you. Have no grudge about anyone. You have heard it said, you must not kill. But I tell you, if you have hatred or anger in your heart, you have already sinned. You have heard it said, you must love your friends and hate your enemies. I say, love your enemies. And he went on, every one of them, the Ten Commandments, taking them out. And saying, no, it's not only the fact that don't commit adultery. If you have a bad impression of yourself and others in terms of using them for your own lust, you have already sinned. Now, he's saying all that, and we're asking ourselves, have we heard this before?
Yes.
Have you heard this before?
Yes.
Of course you've heard this before. The question is now, have I done anything about it? That is really the challenge, isn't it? Then he goes on to talk about almsgiving and fasting and prayer. He says, when you give alms, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Don't be like the hypocrites who do things only that others can see them and clap for them. And the same applies to your prayer and your fasting. Then he says, you know, store up treasure in heaven, because where your treasure is, there is your heart also. Where your treasure is, there is your heart also. And don't store treasure on earth, because the moths will come, ants will eat it up. Or what you want to do is look beyond. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. Again, I ask the question, are our ears open? Have we heard this? And if we have heard this, have we give assent to it, to say, Lord, I have heard and I will obey. The second point is a willingness to suffer injury for the sake of the kingdom. He said it again today. He said, if you want to be a follower of mine, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and come. Deny yourself, do not seek your own ambition, but seek first the kingdom of God. Take up your cross, and the cross may come in various shapes and sizes. It might be the difficulties that you suffered for the sake of the faith, the difficulties you suffered because you were honest in a dishonest environment, the difficulties that you suffered because you stood up for the truth where lie was the norm, because you refused to be bought or to accept anything that goes against your conscience. You stood, and sometimes the lonely voice, and you were harassed and called names. But you stood your ground because you said, I believe in something higher. I stand for truth and beauty and goodness, and my conscience is clear. At night I sleep well. My conscience is clear. At night I sleep well. No fear of anyone pounding my door to ask for looted goods. No one coming behind me because I owe them money. My mind is clear. My conscience is clear. The third point, dear friends, is strong faith in God's fidelity. Do you really believe that God will take care of you? All right, here's the test now. The collection is going to be taken up in a while, right? When you give what you give, if you really believe God will take care of you, we're going to send the basket a second time. Put everything. We won't be doing that. I'm just giving you an example of faith and trust. Because if you really trust God will give, you don't mind emptying your pockets this morning. But then again, maybe you always do that. But I mean faith in God. Faith in God. To know that my God is real. And somehow, if He brings me to one place, He will sustain me and carry me through. And the fourth and last point is total acceptance of God's will, including suffering, including rejection, and including death, if that is part of His plan. You see, dear friends, I began by asking you to say that your mind is clear and your heart, your eyes are open and your heart is ready to receive. And then I turned it around and says, my mind is clear, my ears are open, and my heart is ready to respond to God's will. And I believe that that's what it's all about. If I may just say a brief word about the second reading, James says, faith without works is dead. It's another way of saying, be not only hearers of the word, but doers as well. But carries it a little further and says, if you say you have faith, then you have to have something to show for that faith. You can't just say, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith. What are you doing? How is that faith being brought into practical, concrete terms? And then he gives an example. But the example that I want to give you is to invite you to say with me, Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, please don't refuse me. For surely there is a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Although the cross be great, I'll work for you. Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, please don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of you. By eyes of faith I see you upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me thy servant be. Jesus, use me. Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, please don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cross be great, I'll work for you. I'll stand for thee, dear Jesus, although death may come my way. I'll spread the gospel to the fallen here. But if it be thy will, Lord, to grow across the sea, Lord, help me to be willing to say yes. Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, please don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cross be great, I'll work for you. I'll work for you, dear Jesus, wherever you may send me. Just use me so that others may be blessed. But if it be your will, Lord, to wait and just stand still, Lord, please help me to be willing to say yes. Stand and sing with me, please. Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, please don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Though the cross be great, I'll work for you. Please be seated.